Okay, folks, thanks for joining us on The Extra. Got a very exciting show for you planned today. And just to note, we need some hometown heroes, okay? And we want to get them from you, the community. We've sourced a lot of them ourselves, and the whole goal of this is to show appreciation to somebody in the community, whether it be a teacher, a nurse, somebody who's going above and beyond to just serve others. Can be military, retired, firefighters, Colorado Springs Police Department, EMTs, the list goes on and on. And what we want to do is just hear their story. That's impactful enough, right? Because we talk about Marigold's offering a free dinner. I think the best part is hearing the story, and you can actually hear what these people are going through. Fire department, for instance, we have some firefighters on, and to hear about the calls and the sleepless nights and how it even impacts their family. And it really puts things in perspective and reminds us how special it is to have people serving our community and keeping it so safe, right? We see that as an issue on the forefront when we bring in like County Commissioner Gonzalez. We talk about, you know, what's the impact of the illegal immigrants coming in and crime. And just with that aside, as it being an expanding city, it's a rise in crime. I mean, you can look at the charts, the homicides that have gone up over the years, and that's just something we have to be aware of, and keeping enough law enforcement on staff. And a lot of that is just us showing appreciation and thanking them, and just a simple handshake can do, and that keeps our community, you know, a safer place to live. So do your part. And as we talk a little bit about the illegal immigration, you know, talks of more buses arriving from Denver, it is something that, you know, we saw in the news the other day, some nonprofits going, hey, you know, we're able to accept these people. We have the means. And I think it's sending the wrong message for sure. And as we look at the homeless problem here in Colorado Springs, is it something that we've attained achievement on? I'd say no. And the fact of saying, okay, we're going to even take in more people who are homeless and strap our resources even further. Take a trip down South Tejon, please. I mean, really? I mean, take a trip down South Nevada, right? I mean, you have to be so careful now driving South Nevada that you don't hit a pedestrian who's just jumping out in the middle of the road. Yet, we want to bring more people into our city when we can't even take care of those who don't have housing right now, right? And so not to pick a fight with the nonprofits, because we're blessed to have them in our community. They do a great job. But to say, hey, we're able to accept more and take on more people who are homeless is, to me, it's a shot from right field, because you're not driving in these areas. You're not seeing the fact of the chronic homelessness, obviously. I mean, you got to have your eyes closed to say, hey, let's take on more people who don't have housing here and who don't have jobs. And then to push it even further, who aren't even legal American citizens. And what does that look like even from a perspective? What's their background? Are they involved with the cartel? Are they involved with the drug trade that's going up and down I-25? Right? Are they involved in sex trafficking? A lot of people don't know the number one spot for sex trafficking in the state of Colorado is up in Monument, right by those new gas stations up there. They have the highest numbers of sex trafficking right here in El Paso County, up in Monument. And you think, wow, I-25, major corridor for, we know, pushing drugs, but to hear that stat and go for sex trafficking right in our backyard up in Monument, out of the whole state of Colorado. And they say it's because it's a transition point, you know, where they drop them off and then somebody else picks them up. And, you know, you can't say that this isn't pushed further by the illegal immigration and what's going on at the southern border, because it's a fight now, because somebody in our town, like Yemi, has come out and say, we're not a sanctuary city, but what do you can't put a border around Colorado Springs. And all of a sudden we're going, hey, Denver, what are you doing pushing down the problem here to our beautiful city? I mean, and that's the problem, is there's no teamwork in between these cities and states now. I mean, you can look up just an unbelievable amount of these, and I feel terrible for these illegal immigrants. It's going, hey, we're going to serve you, but now we can't handle it. We're going to push just, we're going to bus you to another city. Right? And the whole problem starts at the federal level. I mean, 9.8 million border attempts in the last 4 years. That's the population of Michigan. You know, and a lot of these go undocumented to the fact that, you know, the ones who are making it across, do they have drugs? What are they smuggling? And what is really surprising, too, is, you know, just last year, 52,700 immigrants from China. And what's even more staggering about that is half of them are going back because they said, we came here. There was a gentleman who was interviewed who said, I came to Los Angeles hoping for more opportunity. Right? He says, I came originally, I became a massage therapist, then I went and worked in the restaurant industry, and now I've returned back to China because, boy, America isn't what I thought it would be. And I go, well, yeah, Wall Street may be doing well right now, but talk to people on Main Street. Talk to the average person and see how well they're doing as far as their business and their savings. Right? I mean, are things great? So that's where I think, yeah, I mean, it's not like we have a plethora of high-paying jobs, and it's not like we have a plethora of affordable housing available, because that's just an unbelievable joke. Even here in Colorado Springs, it's a joke. I mean, we've seen it double the rent has in the last 8 years. And have wages doubled? No. And that's the problem when we continue to let people in and go, hey, if there was jobs available and there was housing available and things were affordable, I could maybe make an argument for it. But when you sit here and you look at the rental prices and you look at the cost of gas and the cost of groceries, that's why a gentleman like this goes, I'm going back to China, because he says there's better affordable living there and there's more opportunity. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. You're listening to The Extra with Justin Hermes. We'll be back after these messages. Okay, we're back, folks. We were talking a little bit about the illegal immigration, and this gentleman being interviewed is very interesting. And I look up the stats on housing in LA. You just look at the typical home price, $855,000. San Fran, it's $1.1 million. And you go to areas like, you know, San Jose, $1.3 million. That just kind of leads the fact of there. You go into the rental prices, it's just as staggering. And so we're not setting people up for success either. That's the thing I look at is, hey, you know, do we have situations? Number one, they should come in legally. I'm not arguing the fact that, coming in illegally is okay. But if we said, hey, you can come in legally, which it's funny because the people who are the most upset about this are the people who actually have come in legally and took all the time and energy to do it. It took years for these people. Now they're finally made it in and they go, you know, I did all this hard work and the federal government's just letting people, you know, in by the drones. So you look at the cost of rent, the cost of groceries, and is it a situation people can have success in right now? Certainly those who have their citizenship are struggling with you see gas back on the rise now, right? And you see food just at an all-time high. It's a problem, you know? So that's why I mentioned this number, 52,700 illegal immigrants that came in are Chinese, and they said half of them, they've expected now that they're tracking, half of them have gone back because there's not the opportunity that they thought there would be, right? And so it's an issue that we're seeing more and more of. And the end of 2023, they're expecting, here are the numbers that they're doing, 16.8 million illegals estimated to be in the United States. 16.8 million, and that's just as of the end of 2023. So that number is growing and growing every day, and you just have to really sit down and wonder what's behind this, right? And I'd love to hear from you guys. If you have any input on this, you shoot me a text. The number is 719-232-1063. That's 232-1063, if you have inputs on this. Or I'd love to hear too, what do you think the economy state is in here in Colorado Springs? Do you think it's good? Are things easy? or if you're a small business owner, how does that look? Because I certainly think the more and more people I talk to, it's, man, the cost of gas, the cost of groceries at the grocery store are insane, and the cost of living overall. And you talk with regional building department, and they go, well, all the new code changes from the state level, it's almost impossible now for them to build any affordable homes, because you have to plug in 220s for pre-solar, and you have to have 220 in the garage for an electric vehicle, and all these new devices have to be installed on the electrical panels, which is 7 times the amount of what it used to be before the new code, and all this adds up. So as green as we want to be, which is great, I'm not saying we should, you know, we should care about Mother Nature, right, and the environment, but if you want to be ultra green, but people can't afford to live, then it is counterintuitive, I would argue, right? Because no matter how green you become, if people can't afford their utilities and can't afford housing, what are we accomplishing, right? And that was kind of the argument behind Drake Power Plant when we saw utility prices double. We're having to buy energy off of the market, right? So there's a lot of things in flux, and I think Colorado Springs, it's a beautiful city, and we're fortunate to have great leadership, but it's tough right now because we're in this transition phase where we're just busting at the seams, and you have to wonder, are we expanding correctly? Is the expansion done right? Or the annexation of the land and the housing, is the infrastructure there, right? Because we expect 1.2 million people by 2050, and the expansion out east, I just argue, is it being done properly? You drive through some of these communities, and there's wood, a cheap wood fence that's put up, and it backs to a highway. And you go, why aren't we requiring a stucco wall, at least a noise barrier wall, to be put up rather than cheap fencing? Right? And so these are the things I think that have to be looked at, is, are we expanding properly? Are we really making sure that, you know, we're doing it in the right way? Because it's a pivotal point we're at right now, the trajectory of Colorado Springs. We can go one way or another. Now, the thing that I think we have in great favor, like I said, is we have some unbelievable leadership here in Colorado Springs. Unbelievable. From our city council to our county commissioners with El Paso County, you look at what they're doing up at the Capitol and what some of these legislators are putting forward, and you just go, what? Some of it requires just some common sense. It's not even left versus right. It's common sense. So look at some of the legislation proposed and look at the thought process behind it, and then look at the leadership we have down here, and you're going to go, whoo. We are so fortunate to have unbelievable leadership here in our city and county compared to what some of the, you know, and I'm not knocking all of them up at the Capitol, but you look at some of the ideas brought forward and the attack on capitalism and property rights, and you kind of scratch your head and go, what? That's not the trajectory Colorado, you know, should be on. So anyway, folks, we're going to get some messages in from ABC News, and you'll be right back here. You're listening to The Extra, Carrier News Radio. Okay, we're back into it here, and I heard the news there about Polis looking at vetoing that bill for safe sites for injecting. I believe that was brought to the him last year. Same thing, and that's the constant battle that you're seeing right now, is the fact that, the Democratic Party is more left than Polis is, and you see it in some of the housing bills, and, it's something you got to shake your head at. So, anyway, we won't go down that rabbit trail, but I do want to talk about the debt relief that we're seeing being taken care of for student loans. And we just had another announcement from the White House. Let's see what it was. I think it was 7.4 in student loan forgiveness, and which I don't know how this really happened. Yeah, 7.4 billion in student loan debt for 277,000 borrowers. And even this is so government, right? Because they're interviewing some of the people who've got letters in the mail, and they're confused. The site was down when they went on it. They thought it was a scam. They're interviewing this gal in California, and she's 52 years old and has $237,000 worth of debt. And she even said, I even went back to school so I could defer payments even further and further. She said, it started with $80,000. I don't know how it got up $237,000, but she goes, that's what it currently is at right now. And she thought, well, I thought the court struck it down and wouldn't get the relief. She said, the Republicans struck it down, so I thought this was a scam for sure. But she's saying it looks like this might be legitimate. And as you look at some of the, it's so tough to wrap your head around, the details in this. And that's the problem, is they roll these things out and there's mass confusion, just like they did with the settlement with the National Association of Realtors. There's no organization from it. They just make a decision and then kind of see how things land and how things play out. But it is funny when you look at the irony of this, because it is we're $34 trillion in debt and adding, right? You just go to the debt clock, you can look at it. It's quite laughable. And our debt per taxpayer is $266,000. I mean, that is unbelievable to think that our country is so far down this debt trail that we could have debt per taxpayer of $266,000 and be $34 trillion in debt. I mean, it's wild, but we're going, hey, we're going to spend $84 billion to cancel debt, and we're going to just continue spending because there's $1.8 trillion out of debt for student loans, and we're gonna forgive these student loans. We're going to keep working to make provisions and keep attacking it and working around the system to cancel the debt on these student loans. And it's just ridiculous when you read through it, because here's one of the bullet points that they published from the White House: waiving accrued and capitalized interest for millions of borrowers up to $20,000. And what are the qualifications? Single borrowers making less than $120,000, or couples making less than $240,000. I'm going, what? I mean, that sounds like a pretty good paycheck to me. $120,000, and we're going to give them $20,000 because they haven't been financially responsible? What? I mean, where is the common sense behind that? That sounds, we should start paying off people's car loans too. We should. We should start paying off home mortgages for people. When you signed up for these student loans, did you not understand what you were signing up for? That's the question I have. So there's another provision eliminating student debt for borrowers and repayment of for 20 years or more. If student loan repayment started on or before July 1st of 2005, all debt will be eliminated for borrowers with undergraduate loans only. For borrowers with graduate loan debt, this is pushed back to July 1st of 2000. No enrollment in IDR plans will be needed to relieve the debt, but currently it is unclear if any application will even be required from the borrowers. Wow, that sounds like a great plan, because you could be making $500,000 and never wanted to pay on your student loans, and it looks like they could just be relieved. This is good stuff. I mean, this is really mind-boggling how we come up with this. I love it. Existing borrowers who experience hardship in paying back their loans. The individual circumstances of the borrowers will be evaluated to provide relief. It is currently unspecified whether debt relief will be partial or total. I mean, could you run a business like this? Roll out, hey, we're going to do this. What's the plan? Don't know. How do you qualify? Don't know. But we're going to throw a bunch of money at it. Oh, great. Do we have money in our business savings account to do this, boss? No. We're in $34 trillion worth of debt, but we're going to do it. How is that work in the real world? Because it's like they're living on a different planet. Businesses can't survive like that. Why should our U.S. government be able to survive with $34 trillion worth of debt and going, we're going to spend more. We're going to keep handing out freebies. Do we have the money to do it? No. Is there any common sense behind it? No. Is there any plan? No. Great. Let's do it. This is not a left versus right. I'm an independent. I'm just telling you, this is just factual. I'm not even arguing whether it should be paid off or it shouldn't be paid off. It's just we're putting things out there and we're saying we're going to cancel debt. And it's just like this gal they interviewed. She goes, I don't know. I just got a letter and I logged in and the website was down and I don't know. And then also arguing the fact that we are incurring more debt. And it's like Jamie Dimon, CEO of JP Morgan, said, he goes, this is scary. This is really scary what's going on with our national debt. And it's really scary what's going on, obviously, in the world. On the brink of World War III is what he said. And he said, it's just like we're living in La La Land. And he says, there's going to be a reckoning. You know, you got to wake up. And the whole thing with interest rates, too, this week on the stock market, going, we live in this fairy tale land of roll rates are going to be cut and the stock market's going to go up. They already price it in because they agreed they can't even wait. They're pricing it in. And now it's like, oh, well, we better have a correction here because, you know, it looks like we may not get the rates to drop, right? So it's down at a 323, the Dow. So it'll finish, who knows what it'll finish at, but down about 1,000 from the beginning of the week. And you go, okay, well, with interest rates now, they're all scared. Well, they're not going to cut interest rates. Well, should they? I mean, the inflation data, even though how skewed it is, I mean, they don't even use the real cost for housing. Stopped doing that back when interest rates got high, so they just cut that out decades ago. So much smoke and mirrors with what the actual numbers are with inflation. Is the data even, it is definitely skewed lower than what it really is. And they're going, oh no, inflation's still hot. Oh, employment's still good. We better cut. Oh, we better, you know, plan on no rate cuts. Maybe June, and then that's the story continues. Maybe in the fall. And you go, why would you cut rates? If you learn anything from the late 1980s and early 92, right? 1992, you saw rates at 18% because they didn't get it under control. They thought the inflation under control. And then they didn't. They had to bring in Mr. V, and he came in, and he took them to the highest points we've really seen them in United States history. So it's just it's the fact that, you know, we're willing to just continue spending money that has, I think, some of these people like a Jamie Dimon going, hey, this is eventually that we're going to have a reckoning. We can't continue down this path, right? Eventually, this is going to come back to bite us. So, anyway, folks, we're talking about student loan debt. That's some fun stuff. And the debt that our country is sitting at right now, $34 trillion and adding by the day. We're going to get some quick commercials in here, and we'll be right back. And listen to The Extra, KRDO News Radio. Okay, we're back into it. We're talking fun stuff on a Friday. And we're talking about the debt that we've piled up as a country and this loan forgiveness and this attitude of there really is no, we're getting a culture of no responsibility. You can take a loan out, and if it's, it meets these certain qualifications, which there doesn't seem too tough after I read through those bullet points, that you can get it forgiven, right? And so I got into a bad car loan. I should get that forgiven, right? I mean, it doesn't work that way. They come take the car, right? You can't pay. You don't keep the car. But for some reason, we look at student loans differently, and we look at people, oh, that's a poor person. We should, you know, we should forgive the student loans. Now, there's some good student loan forgiveness, like Memorial Hospital does for nurses who've worked there a certain amount of time, and they say, we're going to take care of your student loans. Fantastic. I think that's great. Good. There's something tied to that. You work here a certain amount of time, we're going to take care of your student loan debt. There's some accountability. But to just have these open-ended, hey, we're going to forgive the loan debt, another $7.4 billion, let's do it. And we don't even know how we're going to roll it out. It's obvious it's very political, right? It's trying to win political points. And we're messing with really the next generation and the next generation future. With this unbelievable unaccountability as far as as far as debt goes, right? And we've always had some debt. I mean, you know, from the inception, we had about 4.8%, you know, debt ratio, and now we're at 195%, right? So, I mean, it's really grown, and you can look back over the times, you know, where debt really was exceeded compared to other times, right? You look at during the COVID pandemic, and you have to even look at that, folks. Was that handled correctly? I mean, you had this payroll reimbursement. You had emergency funds that were released. I think you can argue the payroll was good to help take care of employees, people who kept them on. But the emergency fund relief, and you look at all the fraud that was tied to that and how easy it was for some people to just say, hey, I'm going to go get a $500,000 loan for my business because it's easy to, you know, get past the system and the accountability behind it, right? I mean, that's something you can question too, because it just took it really took off during those. I mean, you look at the chart. It's wild. When you look at the 1940 to 1980, the national debt was just, it was unbelievably low. It was like in 1980 around like $2 trillion. And then all of a sudden, 80 to 90, a bunch of deregulation, right? Savings and loans, you can look at all this stuff. Just deregulation, more greed. And I believe that's what's really escalated this government debt. And then you look at 1980 to 1990 and you're going to go, okay, great. Now we have $5 trillion worth of debt. Okay, now we're going to move up to $10 trillion. By, let's see here, 1998, 2005, we're getting upwards of $13 trillion. We hit 2010, $15 trillion worth of debt. And now we go 2020, $20 trillion. And now, like we're at today, $34 trillion. Whew! Why are people not aware of this? This is real numbers. This is going on, and we're continuing to spend money like drunken sailors. And you wonder why. Why do we have $1.8 trillion worth of debt, student loan debt? Well, what example are we setting at the national level? Our federal government just spends and spends and spends, and there's no accountability. And the generations, you know, the next generations are going, well, I mean, why not take on more debt? Right? And that's why somebody like Dave Ramsey has a fantastic radio show, because he has an unbelievable audience, because we are a country of debt. And people wonder, why do we rank 15th in the world for home ownership? We have high debt. We have very high debt compared to other countries. Right? And you can look at, go and look at areas like Iceland before 2000, how solvent they were. And then what happened with greed and in the banking system and how that evolved and the deregulation and what that did to that economy. Pretty simple to look at. So, you know, I think Jamie Dimon's right. It's something that, hey, we're living in this la-la land where we're continuing to cancel debt for people and we're continuing to spend and spend and spend. And the $34 trillion in debt, it's brushed underneath the rug, right? And I mean, to me, that has to be, what would you do with your business if you had that much debt, right? I mean, you'd say, all right, we got to cut employees. We got to cut back. We got to be lean and mean. We got to dig our way out of this. Not the U.S. government. Uh-uh. Let's keep spending. You know, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, they should maybe cut back some of the salaries of the congressmen, senators. They should cut back some of the salaries, right? Wouldn't that be the natural thing to do in a business? Hey, guys, we got to take a pay cut. We're operating at a deficiency. No, we're going to increase, actually. We're going to increase what we get paid. As if they don't make enough money after they get out of serving in office, right? You can look into all of that. Boo-hoo, right? So, I mean, this is stuff that I wanted to bring to you today to just talk about it, because it is really something I feel like that this continued spending And the fact, too, that we don't have the resources for these illegal immigrants, and you've seen it as some people are saying, hey, we're leaving, we're going back, because it's just the numbers don't work here in the U.S. for us, right? And now at the end of 2023, they're saying 16.8 million illegal immigrants, what we count for in the United States. So we have a massive issue with a runaway train of the amount of illegal immigrants and undocumented. You can just go on about all the crime that has happened out of this. And then we have a massive debt that's a runaway train too. And those two issues, do you hear them in the news? Don't really hear many people covering that story, but they sure love to talk about Biden and his son, and they love to talk about Trump and his legal things too. And it's a bunch of smoke and mirrors. Why aren't we talking about the nuts and bolts, the amount of illegal immigrants we have, and the amount of national debt that's piling up? Because I'm sitting here shaking my head. All right, folks, that's all the time we have today. You have Tom Martino joining you next.